Bhutan and the Pursuit of Happiness. When most countries speak of progress, they point to gross domestic product, GDP. Bhutan, the small Himalayan kingdom tucked between India and China, went in another direction. In 1972, King Jigme Singye Wangchuck declared that gross national happiness is more important than gross domestic product. With that bold statement, Bhutan became the only nation in the world to make happiness, not wealth, its guiding star. The roots of this decision go back to Bhutan's Buddhist culture, which places high value on balance, compassion, and the interconnectedness of all things. The fourth king recognized that Western models of development often produced material prosperity at the expense of cultural heritage, environmental stewardship, and community cohesion. Bhutan chose a different path. In the early 2000s, this philosophy was formalized into the Gross National Happiness Index, a detailed system designed to measure the well-being of its citizens in a holistic way. So how does Bhutan measure happiness? Unlike GDP, which counts goods and services, Bhutan's GNH, Gross National Happiness Index, looks at 9 domains of life that together define human flourishing. The first one is psychological well-being, life satisfaction, positive emotion, spirituality. The second is health, not only absence of disease, but also access to care and healthy practices. The third is education, literacy, schooling, and lifelong learning. The fourth is time use, balance between work, family, rest, and leisure. The fifth is cultural diversity and resilience, preservation of language, traditions, and festivals. And six, good governance, trust in institutions, political participation, and fairness. The seventh is community vitality, family bonds, neighborly ties, social support. The eighth is ecological diversity and resilience, environmental quality, sustainability. And finally, the ninth category, living standards, material comfort, income security, and housing. Each domain is broken down into detailed indicators, with surveys conducted regularly across the population. Citizens are asked not just about income or jobs, but about whether they feel safe, have time for family practice, meditation, and how satisfied they are with life. Since its launch, Bhutan's GNH Gross National Happiness surveys have shown steady, if uneven, progress. More people report improvements in education and health. Environmental protection remains a cornerstone, with Bhutan famously being the only country in the world to be carbon neutral. And it's even carbon neutral negative. Cultural traditions continue to thrive, from vibrant festivals to the omnipresence of prayer flags fluttering in the mountain winds. But the surveys also reveal challenges: youth unemployment, rural poverty, and the pressures of modernization. The government doesn't hide these shortcomings. Instead, it uses the data to adjust policies. Bhutan's pursuit of happiness is less about utopia and more about ongoing course correction. So what did we see when we were there during our trip? It's one thing to read about Bhutan's Gross National Happiness Index in another academic paper. It's another to walk its roads, climb its trails, share tea with its people. Traveling there with my son and daughter gave us the rare chance to see whether this philosophy actually lives in the daily rhythm of life. We noticed right away how central community vitality is. In village after village, doors were open, neighbors greeted one another, and strangers were treated with warmth and curiosity. People seemed to measure success not by possessions, but by their relationships with their family, with neighbors, and with the natural world that surrounds them. Ecological resilience was also not an abstract concept. From the clean mountain air to the careful stewardship of forests and rivers, we felt the country's deep respect for the environment. Our guide reminded us that Bhutan has committed to keeping 60% of its land under forest cover forever. That decision alone says much about how they think of happiness, not as quick growth, but as balance across generations. On a personal level, I found myself struck by time use, one of those nine domains. In the U.S., time feels perpetually scarce, something to hoard or fight over. In Bhutan, time felt more expansive, as if the day's rhythm allowed for both work and reflection. My children noticed this too. Freed from the usual pull of their jobs and responsibilities back home, they experienced what felt like their own pilgrimage. Time to pause, reflect, and simply be. And then came a conversation that will stay with me forever. At Tiger's Nest, after the long climb, I had the chance to stand and have a conversation with a monk. And I asked him directly, "What does happiness mean to you?" He looked at me directly, paused for a minute, and then answered, "Happiness means inner peace. And from that inner peace, it allows me to give compassion to others." His phrasing was exact. Inner peace was not the end point, but the foundation. Without it, he said, he could not offer compassion. And without compassion, inner peace alone was not enough to bring true happiness. It is the combination, peace within and compassion outward, that creates happiness. That simple, profound insight was an eye-opener for me. It challenged me to think about my own life. I need to focus more intentionally on my inner peace. But I also must remember that it's only when I use that peace to extend compassion to others that I will find the fullness of happiness. So what did I take away? If Bhutan teaches anything, it is that happiness is not a permanent state, nor is it guaranteed by wealth. It is cultivated through attention to balance. Balance between material and spiritual. Balance between individual and community. And balance between human life and the natural world. Traveling there with my children reminded me that happiness also requires space. Space to reflect. Space to connect. And space to notice. We each came away with our own private reflections, but together we shared a glimpse of what it means when an entire nation decides to prioritize joy, well-being, and balance over profit alone. For me, the monk's words on what happiness is still echo. Inner peace, and from that inner peace, the ability to give compassion to others.
Be sure to subscribe to Meandering Musings wherever you get your favorite podcasts. For more about Neil Peterson and to read more Meandering Musings and travel essays, visit meanderingmusings.net. Tell your friends about Meandering Musings and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.